Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And I would just like to say that it is, for me, a privilege to be able to share the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ with you. And as I like to do in every class, what I'd like to do before I begin the class, I would like to just ask those two questions because, they're very pertinent. And not necessarily for this class, but actually for our souls to walk in, participate in the purpose for which God Almighty created them. God created our souls with one purpose. It is the appearing of His Son. We've seen this in Acts 26:16, where it's just laid out right there, where the Lord appears to Saul, and he's basically born again, and now he's Paul. And he makes he specifically says this: "This thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. This the appearing of me for the very first time, and the appearing of me hereafter." And we've looked at various different verses that are completely declaring the same. And so I would just like to ask those two questions. The first one is, are you born again? And anyone who is born again would say, you must be born again. If you're born again, then you're saying, yes, I understand what you're saying. I am born again. If you're not born again, then I'll say to you, you must be born again. New birth, being born from above, born from the beginning, born from Christ, born from the Spirit of God, is the beginning of purpose. The beginning. It's like coming into the door of purpose. Christ Himself being that purpose and Christ Himself being that door. Coming into purpose. Now, it's basically this. I look at it this way, just to make it, for example, to make it easier to understand. If one isn't born again, there is no life present. We've seen the verses in John where he says, he who has the Son has the life. So, if there's a soul that is not born again, Christ is not present, therefore life is not present. Once that soul is born again, receives Christ, receives life, receives salvation, then, please listen, life appears where there was no life before. Christ appears where Christ was not before, okay? The first appearing of Christ in the soul is new birth. That is the beginning of purpose, because now purpose is present within the soul. The purpose for which it was created is now present. Christ Himself. Now, I'll ask this next question for those who are born again. Here's my question unto us. Are we knowing the life that we have received at new birth? And I've covered it in several different classes because I always ask these two questions every single class because I never know who is going to be watching these classes, listening to these classes, or which will be the first class they listen to. So, I do ask, if we are born again, since we are born again, are we knowing the life that we've received? And we can have responses and say, well, yes, I am. I go to church on Sunday. Or I read brother or sister so-and-so's book. I watch brother or sister so-and-so's video. I listen to brother or sister so-and-so's audio. Or I search the scriptures. Or I go to Sunday classes. You may even say, well, I teach Sunday classes. I'm a pastor, et cetera, et cetera. You can say all these things. But those means are from without. The knowing that I am talking about, that I'm speaking of, is a knowing that is from within. A knowing that is completely, ultimately, totally dependent, absolutely dependent upon the Father by the Spirit of God revealing that very Christ. It is dependent upon the Father through His Spirit to reveal the Son that we may know Him. Now, I'm not saying that we should not go to Sunday service or Wednesday evening services or read the Bible. I'm not saying any of that. No, do these things. Search the scriptures. cry out that we would see the Christ that they are testifying of, that we would see the Christ that they are speaking of. And once having seen Christ in the Scriptures, that we would cry out that the Father would reveal that very same Christ in our souls, that we would know Him. Paul said, that I may know Him, but I press on. Paul was a Pharisee, we know this. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He knew the Old Testament Scriptures. He knew the Scriptures. He knew them. And yet he desired to know Jesus. He didn't say, yes, I know them. I know the Scriptures, and therefore I know about. And that's what the Scriptures can bring you to, is a knowing about. We can get a perfect description of a substance which the Scriptures are declaring. A perfect description. But until we come face to face with that person, we do not know him. I may have used this example. I can hand you my driver's license, and you will have the most accurate, perfect description that, or my passport, the most accurate, perfect description of me that you can possibly have. Even a picture of me. You can see the color of my hair, the color of my skin, my features. But until I appear in your presence, you truly do not know me. Yes, you know several things about me, several facts about me. But until I truly appear in your presence face to face, you do not know me. And how much greater it is with the Lord. How much greater. So, for us who are born again, are we knowing the indwelling Christ we have received? And I will say, we must know this Christ. Christ must be revealed. The light of life must appear. And it's not so much for our sakes, though that is the purpose for which our souls were created, but it is that the Son would take possession of what is rightfully His by the right of the firstborn. And I think we've covered that in a previous class. So please check that out. I don't want to go too far into that because I do have a lesson for this class right now. But that we would come to know His inheritance in the saints. The Son Himself taking possession of that which is rightfully His. So, with that being said, may we just turn our hearts to behold the Christ of God. That we would walk in purpose, that we would walk in light, that we would walk in the day, that we would walk in faith. So now, in our class, I just had a couple of verses and some terms and phrases out of these verses that I'd like us to look at. In our previous class, what we did, we kind of basically defined sin. And it's basically missing the goal or path of right and duty. It's missing the mark is what sin is. It is literally missing the mark. And you hear Paul in Philippians, but I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He desires that his heart would turn, that the veil would be removed, and that he, right there with all the rest, would behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, face to face, communion. And God is faithful. I think we've looked at this in a class, and if not, we will look at it in a class here shortly. God is faithful, who hath called us unto this fellowship with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's go ahead and begin with this class, continue on with this class. And I have this, and Raven Bird actually shared this in a previous class really well, and I wish I knew the class name I'd give it to you, but if you want, search our site and listen to all the classes till you find it. He covered it in detail far way better than I'll be able to cover it this evening. It's very good. And basically I have this seeming to come short of His rest. And our text for this part, I've got two different texts, but this text right here is Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. I'll just go ahead and read that real quick. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you, being hardened through deceitfulness of sin, For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. This is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise of being left us, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now I'll just start just making a couple of comments on this passage. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief, not believing, in departing. And when it says right there, departing, is speaking of the heart. And we'll be looking at a couple of verses, because I did jot down some notes along as I was going through these commentaries and these lexicons. If you are born again, Christ is in you. By virtue of Christ being in you, you are found in him. The only way, being born again, the only way you can depart is if your heart turns from, listen, the living God. If your heart turns from the living God and begins to abide in the ignorance, the vain imagination of the heart. Okay, that is the only way you can depart if you are born again. If you're not born again, Christ isn't in you. You've not come unto salvation because salvation has not come unto you. Okay? If you're not born again, you have not come unto life because life has not come unto you. Where Christ is present, life is present. Where Christ is present, salvation is present. Where Christ is present, all these terms, all these things of the old covenant are present because they're present in the substance of which the scriptures declare. They're present in the person of Christ himself. The summation of all these terms. Okay? So now, in departing from the living God. And if there's a departation, if there's a departing, it is not from teaching or doctrine, but it's from the living God, from the face of the living God. You know, I think we might may have covered it in a previous class. In the Old Testament, there's many references to the heart, to the heart, to the heart. In vain do they worship me, but their hearts are far from me, to the heart. And it is so important that our hearts would just turn unto the Lord. Hear the testimony of Christ, the declaration of Christ, and turn unto the Lord that the veil be removed. I love it, and I've shared this already before in previous classes, just like Elijah and Elisha. They both walk in an understanding, and you can see them both as a type of Christ, of Jesus of Nazareth, and a type of the risen Lord, or you can see them both as a type of Christ and a type of the church. Either way, it is declaring Christ, and they walk in an understanding. The understanding is basically this. The Lord of hosts liveth. That's understanding number one. It is not I, but the Lord of hosts. It is not I, but the Lord, Jehovah, liveth. Paul said it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the vessel lives. And yet not I the life of the vessel, but Christ who liveth in me is the life of the vessel. The exact same declaration. They also walked in another understanding. They would say, the Lord liveth before whom I stand. Before whose presence, before whose face I remain. So their hearts are turned unto the Lord, and there is no veil. With unveiled face, they're beholding the glory of God. Now, in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament scriptures, that is a type, that is a shadow of a reality that we must walk in. Of a reality that we must come to. Because we have been made partakers. The big question here is, who then is partaking? Remember? I asked, if you are born again, my question unto you at the very beginning of the class, are you knowing the Christ, the life you have received? The very exact same question. We have been made partakers. The question is, who then is partaken? We have been given this life. The question then is, who is walking in this abundance of life we have received? We have been given this great salvation. I think Rabin said something, I won't be able to quote it quite exactly. He said, who then is knowing the greatness of this salvation? Okay? It's basically that. That's always the question. And once again, I covered it in a previous class. If we do not see, we do not know. It's the order of knowing. It's out. You can see it. It's all throughout the scriptures. You can see it. I've used the verse, the passage in Luke chapter 24. Their eyes were holden that they could not see him. Excuse me, that they did not know him. Then later on, their eyes were opened and they knew him. Okay, it's a spiritual order, even though right there is from without, from afar, but it is a spiritual order nonetheless. When you see, you know. Excuse me. So let's go ahead and continue with this passage here. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Once your heart turns from the Lord, there's no life. Life is found in Christ. When your heart turns from life, what is left? Death. When your heart turns from light, what is immediately present? Darkness. And then you are as one in the day groping about blind, as if you were in the night, though he has translated us from the darkness unto the light. Blind, and yet in the day, and yet still blind. Okay. But exhort one another. I love this right here. But exhort one another daily. And we've already looked at this in Genesis. I know that it may or may not be saying this, but I just love to see this. The evening and the morning were the first day. Let there be light. The light appeared. Exhort one another daily. Exhort one another as you walk in the light as he is in the light. Exhort one another as you're beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Exhort one another. You, all you whose hearts are turned and with without veil, with an unveiled heart, an unveiled soul, an unveiled view, are being transformed. Therefore, exhort one another. There's a verse that I've looked at, and I'm not sure exactly where it is. It's in one of the Gospels, and the word I want us to look at this one word, because it is the exact same word, and you can do a search on this word with a Strong's Concordance. This is from where we've been several times. In fact, I've lost my place. Okay. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And this is the whole situation with Moses and the veil and the heart turning unto the Lord. Okay. And I'll go ahead and read it. Nevertheless, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And I believe that term turn is Strong's number 1994. It's in the Greek, I think it's pronounced epistrepho. And here it is. To turn, the turning of the heart, that the veil would be removed. That exact same turn, I think you can find it. And like I said, just type it in. You know, if you have a Bible program, type in Greek 1994 or Strong's number 1994, and it will give you this verse right here. There's a passage where Jesus is talking to Peter, and he's saying, you're going to deny me, Peter. And I believe this is it. And Peter's saying, you know, the cock will crow, or you know, even if I go to death, I will not deny you. And the Lord is saying, you will deny me, Peter. But, he says, but when you are converted, it's the term right there, converted, it's the same exact Strong's number, 1994, means the exact same thing, turned. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Right there. Do not try to strengthen your brethren if your heart hasn't turned and there remains a veil over your heart. Do not try to strengthen your brethren, because as you are doing right now, you would strengthen them with a soulish affection, as you're trying to do me. You would try to guard them, protect them with a soulish affection, as you do, as you try unto me at this moment. But strengthen your brethren. When you are converted, when you are turned, then strengthen your brethren. It's beautiful. Please search it out. I wish I had it. I just thought of it right now while I was reading this. But it's so beautifully there. When your heart is turned, then you can strengthen the brethren, and they will be strengthened, and they will be established, because what they will hear is reality and truth, and they also, their hearts will be pricked, their hearts will be stirred, there will be birthed expectation in their hearts that they themselves would turn, that the veil would be removed, and they, in that, an automatic that the appearing of Christ is, you are established in that appearing. It's automatic, you are established. The more your heart turns into the Lord, the more you continue in the appearing of Christ, the more you walk in the light as He is in the light, the more you continue in the day by day by day, the more you continue in the revelation of Jesus Christ, this thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter, the more you are established. The foundation is laid and you are established. And Christ, the understanding is built. Your soul is now formed into the image of Christ. Your soul now takes and bears that same image. We have covered that in a previous class, so I won't go too far in detail. So, going on. But exhort one another daily. Day by day, if you're walking in the day, exhort one another. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, I want us to look at that that phrase right there. Through the deceitfulness is one Greek term, apate, something like that. Forgive me for my pronunciation. It's Strong's number 539. Through the deceitfulness of sin. In the Strong's Greek lexicon, it basically means this. The definition is delusion. It's translated into the English as deceit, deceitful, deceitfulness, deceivableness. In the Online Bible Greek lexicon, it's deceit, deceitfulness. This is the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, Kittle, the abridged edition. Excuse me. A, deception or enticement, the letter A, as in A. Now B, pleasant illusion, pleasure. And it says, meaning A is found in the New Testament in Colossians 2:8 and Hebrews 2:13, which we actually read, Hebrews 2:13, and 2 Thessalonians 2:10, while B is most likely in Mark 4:19 and 2 Peter 2:13 and perhaps Ephesians 4:22, but always with a stress on the evil aspects. It is thus strongly influenced by A, letter A. Well, I was just looking at that. Deception or enticement. A pleasant illusion. Something, please listen, something that pleases the flesh. Something that you can literally get your physical hands on. Get your little brain wrapping around it, you know? Something that we can understand with our mind. Like, please listen, like you go to school and you understand 1 + 1 = 2. I understand that. I understand that concept. I can see they have one block and they bring another block and now there are two blocks. But please understand, in the economy of God, one and one is one. That's what Jesus said. I and my Father are one. It is beyond our wee little brains. It is beyond the understanding of man, the comprehension of man. We are limited. And I think it was Raven who said this. I'm not sure who we were coming back from a trip. He said something like, or maybe it was JW, I can't remember. He said, genius has a limit. Ignorance has no limit. You know, it's true. It's true. But either way, our minds fall so short of the mind of Christ. Please listen. The goal isn't the mind of Christ. The goal is the appearing of Christ. In the appearing of Christ, the mind of Christ is present. Let me rephrase that. In the appearing of Christ, the mind of Christ is known to be present. All fullness dwells in Christ. Christ dwells in you. Therefore, all fullness of Christ is in you. But do you know Him to be in you? That's the question. Do we know the fullness of this one that dwells within us? That's the question. Do we know Him? Okay. So that was through the deceitfulness. All right. Going down a little further. This is Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Should seem. That word seem. Okay. Should seem is actually one Greek word. But should seem to come short of it. Not that you have come short of entering His rest, but that you, that it would seem, that unto you it would seem as though you had come short. There's fact, and then there's assumption. There's reality, and then there's our minds, everything else. Okay, so that that phrase should seem as Strong's number 1380. Basically, it's defined as to think by implication, to seem truthfully or uncertainly. Translated into the English, suppose, think, suppose. Here's Paul. I know we've covered this in a previous class, and if not, we will cover it. Suppose Paul would say something like, I supposed I was serving Jehovah. I totally thought I was serving Jehovah, persecuting the Christians. I thought. It seemed to me that I was serving the Lord Jehovah. Well, Paul, your assumption was wrong. Regardless of how passionate you were, regardless of how zealous you were, your assumption was wrong. You did what you did in ignorance. There it is again, the word ignorance. Do you know? Know ye not? Do we know? Okay. Once again, there it is. All right. So that was the Strong's Greek lexicon. Here's the online Bible Greek lexicon. To be of opinion. Brother and sister, it don't matter what you think, what your opinion is. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. God's mind is what matters. His opinion. Not, and it's not like an opinion like it'll change. No. His reality that is found in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ, which does not change. Please, I know you know this. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, today, forever. You'll agree with me on that much at least. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Right there. To be of opinion. To think. To suppose. It seems to me. Well, it doesn't matter what it seems to me. It doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what God hath declared of His Son. And that we would know what God hath declared of His Son. This is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that we would see that we may know that very Son. What God hath declared. What God hath declared, He declared it perfectly. Do we know what God hath declared? Do we know the one whom God hath declared? It goes on, the online Bible Greek lexicon for that phrase should seem, Strong's number 1380. I think, judge. I determined. All this is our mind versus the mind of Christ, basically. Our mind versus the mind of Christ. For example, you may think this. I have these thoughts, or I do these things, therefore I must not be born again, or God probably hates me, etc. What your mind, what you think, doesn't count. If you have those thoughts, it's because you're looking at the wrong man. God does not look at the wrong man. He looks at his son. He looks no less than his son. If we have thoughts as such, if we suppose opinions of ourselves or of others, right? Oh, well, or, I mean, you could view a brother or sister, oh, well, that brother needs to fix this or they need to do that. Or you can view yourself, I've had these thoughts before in times past. You know, oh, Lord, but I fail you here, I fail you there, Lord. Look at what I do. How can I even be born again? How can you possibly be pleased with what I do or my thoughts? And all the while the Lord is, I'm not looking at you. I put you away in the cross. I look at Him who is your life. The thing is, you are ignorant of Him who is your life. Till our hearts turn and the veil is removed, we remain ignorant. But the Lord would not have us ignorant. Even Paul said it, I would not have you to remain ignorant, brethren. The Lord would not have us ignorant. He would have us walk in light. The light of the understanding of the knowledge of God. The light of His appearing. The light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He would have us walk in purpose. how it said there, one of those definitions was judge. You have a judgment. I want us to look at John chapter 8, verse 15. And this is Jesus. You judge after the flesh. After the flesh, I judge no man. Jesus has a judgment that is not after the seeing of the eye. He has a judgment that is not after the flesh. We judge after the flesh. We judge after the natural senses, after the natural faculties. God does not judge accordingly. God does not judge according to the senses, the natural faculties. He has a righteous judgment. Our judgment is unrighteous. It comes out of the mind of man. Remember, 1 plus 1 equals 2. That's a judgment. But the mind of Christ is greater. The thought of God is greater. Yes, I am thinking about it. I think it's in Isaiah. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My way is higher than your ways. Okay. Once again, the Lord doesn't look to what He hath put away. The Lord looketh unto him who remaineth. It is us who, when our hearts turn from the Lord, look to that which the Lord hath put away. And then the deceitfulness of sin, of separation, of falling short, we begin to imagine that the Lord hath put away is our life, when in reality it is not. Okay? Now, excuse me. Back to Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Let's look at this term evil. It's Strong's number 4190. And this is a Strong's Greek lexicon. From a derivative of 4192, hurtful, that is evil, properly in effect or influence, a hurtful, an evil heart of unbelief. What did Paul tell Saul at the time in Acts 26, chapter 26? Saul, Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. It is not beneficial for your soul to resist, to go this route. It is not healthy for your soul. It is but hurtful. It is evil for your soul. Going against the purpose for which your soul was created. going on. Let's see. Also, passively ill. That is, diseased. Diseased. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you a diseased heart. An ill heart that does not continue, that does not turn, that the veil would be removed, that does not continue in the presence before the face of God, that does not continue in light, but remains and desires to continue in darkness. Ill, diseased, not healthy and unhealthy heart. If your eye be single, well, how did Jesus say it? If your eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But if your eye be evil, I'm not sure if that's the exact same Strong's number or not. I'm not sure, but you can check it out. I'll try to see if I can check it out. I'll write it down here, make a note. But if your eye be evil, whole body's full of darkness. And how great is that darkness? Well, if you're born again, it's the darkness of your understanding, the darkness of ignorance. Ignorance. But ignorance of what? Of a thing? Of a concept? No, ignorance of the indwelling Christ. It is always ignorance of the indwelling Christ. Remember what we've said in previous classes? God is not into extreme makeover. There is no extreme makeover. Christ needs no improvement. When we see that there needs improvement, we are looking upon the wrong man. Our eyes are fixed on the wrong man. And God would speak unto those whose hearts are turned to see Him, that they would declare, show the house to the house. Obviously, the house has its eyes on the wrong house. Well, there you go. I'll leave it with that. That's out of Ezekiel. All right. The Online Bible Greek Lexicon for that term evil, 4190. I love this. Please listen to this one. Defined as full of labors, annoyances, hardships, pressed and harassed by labors, bringing toils, annoyances. I want us to turn to Matthew. Your heart's probably already there already. I mean, just as far as the passage that I'm turning to. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 through 30. This is Jesus speaking. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. Learn me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you a burdensome heart, a heart full of labors, a heart laboring under the law that dwells in unbelief, because it has not come to the fulfillment of the law, Christ Himself. It has not come unto the consummation of the law, Christ Himself. It has not come to the purpose of the law. What did we say in a previous class? Here comes Moses. He has two tables. Where's your heart? As your heart turns toward yourself, you will see the list of do's and don'ts. If your heart is desiring to know the living God and it is in some form or fashion turned unto the Lord, you will see, they are they that testify of me. And here comes Moses with the tables of testimony, the tables testifying of Christ. All from the same scriptures. It's just, where is your heart? Is your heart viewing humanity, man, your own face? Or is your heart turned unto the Lord and there is no veil and you are viewing the face of Jesus Christ, the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ? Which glory? The glory that fadeth from without, from afar, or the glory that remaineth from within? All right, continue on. The Online Bible Greek Lexicon for that same term, evil, Strong's number 4190, it goes on. In a physical sense, diseased or blind. There are those who believe having never seen. They believe whatever they want to believe. Then there are those who believe based on what they have seen. And they are not shaken, and they are not moved, because they have seen. It is confirmed in their hearts, in their souls, and there's this steadfastness based on what they have seen. They believe. Therefore, they speak. in a physical sense, diseased or blind. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you a blind heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In an ethical sense, evil, wicked, bad. Okay. A blind heart of unbelief. We're going to look at that term, unbelief. It's Strong's number 570. Here's the Strong's Greek lexicon. Faithlessness. And it's, or unfaithfulness. Listen to this one. These are the definitions. Faithlessness, unfaithfulness, disobedience. A blind heart of disobedient, a diseased heart of disobedient, a heart that is burdened with labors of disobedience. Of disobedience, not coming unto the obedience of faith. Use that verse that I just quoted. And let's turn. We've already covered this, but it bears reading again. Let's turn to Acts chapter 26. Beautiful chapter. Acts chapter 26, verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient. I was obedient to the heavenly vision. I had not an evil heart, but my heart turned and remained and continued and continues. Remember, I think we covered in a previous class the aorist tense with no relation to time. Not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I continue in obedience, in faith. Faith is seeing the substance. Now faith is the substance of that which was hoped for. It's the evidence of that which cannot be seen with the natural. And you can check it out. That's what it means. The evidence of that which cannot be seen with the natural eye. That which cannot be seen in the natural. Well, how have you seen it? The eye of faith. The eye of the soul. The heart has turned unto the Lord. The veil has been removed. And now you behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Okay. Obedience. Obedient under the heavenly vision. Obedient. The heart continually turning and the veil being removed. Walking in the light as he is in the light. Walking in the appearing of Christ. Walking in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Walking in the revealing of the Son. Walking day by day by day, being renewed day by day by day. Okay, this is the online Bible Greek lexicon for the term unbelief. Strong's number 570, the exact same one we were looking at. Want of faith. Unbelief. Weakness of faith. Weakness of faith. Faith is seen. But faith isn't seen something in the natural. Faith isn't like, oh, I have, like what's saying, oh, I have faith to win the lotto, or oh, I have faith that God is going to provide me transportation for tomorrow. Well, the Lord provides, but that's not faith. Faith is when one beholds the object of God, the beloved object of God, when we behold the beloved Son. That is faith. That is seen. When we are beholding Christ, there is faith. There is vision. Because the one we see is God. As I think Rabin said it, the eternal object. Christ himself. Nothing less. If we are not beholding the face of Christ, then we are, please listen, faithless. There is wanting of faith. There is lacking of faith. Alright? Now, continuing on, take heed, brethren, Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The term departing is Strong's number 868. Basically means defined as to remove, to desert. And here's how I have it written. Here's my comment. In the ignorance of the heart, to depart in the ignorance of the heart, to remove in the ignorance of the heart, but not possible in reality. I want us to look at, I'll just give the verses out there. It's Matthew 19, 3 through 8, Mark 10, 1 through 9. I'm going to turn to Matthew, and they both say, declare the same thing. Excuse me. Matthew chapter, oh, sorry, it was Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 8, and if your Bible has subtitles, the subtitle is divorce. Verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. The two shall become one. One and one is one. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorce and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it is not so. What God hath joined, no man can separate. If you are born again, you cannot separate. Now you can turn your heart and walk in the ignorance of your heart, the darkness of your heart. Once having turned from the Lord, you immediately, there's darkness. You can walk in that darkness. You can walk in that ignorance. But what God hath joined, no man can separate. And he wasn't talking, please understand, he wasn't primarily speaking of this guy and this girl having a divorce. He was speaking of his son. They are they that testify of me. He was declaring, when Christ is joined to one, that one is joined to Christ that cannot be separated. Man cannot do anything to separate that union that God has joined. But we, how short we fall. We search the scriptures, and instead of seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we see ourselves. And then we apply it to ourselves, even as the Pharisees were trying to apply this verse to themselves. But we have it all out of order. All out of order. Because they don't speak of us, they speak of Christ. Yeah, you can make the scriptures in your mind, if you have yourself in view, the wrong man, you can make them testify of you. But they don't. They don't. In the ignorance of your mind, you can do that. In the ignorance. Okay, going on. Translated, we're still with Strong's Greek lexicon, translated into the English as depart, fall away, withdraw self. And I thought of this, withdraw self. It's like Adam in the garden. Adam and Eve in the garden. They withdrew. Let's just turn there. I mean, it's just, I love the way it says it. I know I'm running out of time. This is Genesis chapter 3. And like I said, right here, it's just a type and shadow. Please understand me. It's just a type and shadow. Genesis 3, 7 to 10. And the eyes of both of these were after they ate of the knowledge of good and evil. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. They turned their hearts. They hid themselves from the presence, from the face. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Where are you? The same exact thing that the Lord was declaring to Elijah when he ran. It says, and Elijah saw and he feared for his life. He saw with his natural eyes and he feared for that which he considered, which he supposed to be his life. And then he tried to save that which he supposed was his life. The exact same thing. Elijah, where are you? What are you doing here? Turn your heart. Why is your heart turned from me? Turn your heart unto me. Here we go. Where art thou? Where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. I heard your voice. My heart was turned from you. My heart turned from you. I heard your voice and I was afraid. So I hid. It's not so to withdraw self. It's not so. You can do that in your heart. You cannot do it in reality. You can be stubborn in your heart and continue in the ignorance thereof, refusing to turn unto the Lord. But the Lord is present. If you're born again, you may be ignorant of that present, of that Lord that's present, but he's present. Jacob, the Lord was here all this time, and I knew it not. But praise God, now I know. The Lord would not have us ignorant. All right, going on. This is the Online Bible Greek Lexicon for the same term, departing, Strong's number 868. Cause to withdraw, remove, to stand off, to stand aloof. This is what I thought. I'm not going to turn to the passage. The elder son, he wouldn't come in to celebrate. He wouldn't come. Celebrate with the father. No, he wouldn't come. Turn the heart from the face of God. To go away, to depart from anyone, withdraw from one, to fall away, become faithless. To withdraw oneself from, to fall away, absent from one's, absent one's self from. Been made partakers. Colossians 1:12 declares that we have been made partakers. My question once again is, who then is partaking? Okay? Here's the last passage text that I had for us. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33 through 34. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. This is the Douay Rheims American edition. It says, awake, ye just, and sin not. I love that. It's like you have the cause and you have the effect. Right there. Awake, ye just, and sin not. How's the verse go? Awake, and Christ shall shine. Something like that. Awake, awake, ye just. If you are born again, you are justified because of the life that is present within you. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Awake, ye just, the automatic result, and sin not. Awake, heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, the day is present. It says, and when Jacob awoke, Jacob was asleep in the night, and when he awoke, he declared, the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. He wrestled with an angel at night, nighttime. And when the day dawned, he walked into reality. It is not I, Jacob, but Israel. It is not I, but Christ, Israel being prince with God. There is only one son that God has, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not many, but one. It is not I, but Christ, walking in the light, walking in an understanding. The term awake, Strong's Greek lexicon, figuratively to rouse oneself out of stupor. Translated into English as awake. I looked up that term stupor in the Webster's dictionary, 1828 dictionary. Great diminution or suspension of sensibility. Suppression of sense. Numbness. I like this. This is the second definition. Moral stupidity. That's kind of funny. This is Microsoft Word 2000 synonyms for the term stupor. State of unconsciousness, not conscious to the reality we have come to in Christ. A trance, a coma, days, a dream. I mean, I'm hearing it. Who hath bewitched you? When your heart turns from the living God, guess what? You're bewitched. No one has to do it automatically. You're no longer walking in the testimony of Christ. You're walking under the law in your heart. And it's burdensome and heavy. But the Lord would not have us there. Remember, the Holy Spirit deals with the heart continually, that what? That we would turn unto the Lord, that the veil be removed, and that we would walk in the light as He is in the light. Let there be light. Let there be light. And let there be light day by day by day, appearing by appearing by appearing, revealing by revealing by revealing, the revealing of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the Son, which only the Father can do when our hearts turn to see Him. This is the online Bible Greek lexicon for the term awake, Strong's number 1594, exact same term, to return to one's self from drunkenness. See, we read about being drunk in the Old Testament, and then we immediately apply it to the flesh. Well, we shouldn't go drink beer. And I'm not saying go get drunk. No, that's not what I'm saying. No, there's a reality that the Lord is declaring. There is a drunkenness that keeps you out of your right mind if you are born again. Please understand, if you are born again, you have the mind of Christ. The question is, are you knowing that mind to be present? Is your heart turned unto the Lord? When your heart is turned unto the Lord, there is no veil. The mind of Christ is known to be present. If your heart is turned from the Lord, then you are as a drunken man, not in your right mind. To return to oneself from drunkenness, to become sober. Oh, think of all the verses, brothers, sisters. Become sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. Vigilant. Metaphorically, to return to soberness of mind, to a sound mind. This is Barnes' notes, and I've got a couple of other commentaries, but my time is running out. But I just wrote this one here. Barnes' notes. Awake to righteousness. Barnes' notes on this one, 1 Corinthians 15:34. The word here translated awake denotes properly to awake up from a deep sleep or torpor, and is usually applied to those who awake or become sober after drunkenness. Now, torpor, I didn't really actually know what it meant, so I looked it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and it means numbness, inactivity. The first definition, set of definitions, dullness, laziness, sluggishness. And they also have stupidity. It's kind of funny. All these happen, listen, at night when there is no light present. Those who are drunken are drunken at night. Those who do evil works at night. None of this happens in the day. None of this happens in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. None of this is present. The Lord would not have us ignorant. The Lord would not have us walk in darkness. Jesus said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He also said, "For judgment I am come into the world, that those who say they see with their natural eyes, they see, they perceive with their natural faculties, may be made blind. And that those who are blind may be made to see." Those who see in reality are those who are beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Those whose hearts are turned and there is no veil, and they're being transformed. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, being transformed to bear that same image from glory to glory. Those who see, those who walk in the light, those who continue day by day. The Lord has nothing less for us. This is the purpose of our soul, the purpose for which our souls were created, that we would behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that we would continue in the appearing of Christ and nothing less, that we would not fall short of the goal, that we would not fall short of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And just with that, I'll go ahead and end, and may the Lord just continually stir our hearts, deal with our hearts, and just bring us unto reality. Bring us unto where our hearts turn, the veil is removed, and we walk in the light as He is in the light, that we would walk in purpose. So may the Lord bless you in that purpose. May the Lord continually deal with your hearts, that we would walk in purpose, that we would walk in light, that we would walk in the appearing of Christ. And with that, I will end. Amen.